believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Chicago and became an actress at the urging of her grandfather. She starred in numerous Hollywood movies and on Broadway, opposite such stars as Elvis Presley and Walter Matthau. In 1963, she left Hollywood to become a cloistered nun at the Benedictine Abbey of Regina Laudis, and ultimately became the prioress of the convent. Her name? Mother Dolores Hart. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us, on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's Jack.
We're with Mother Dolores Hart, the prioress of Benedictine Abbey of Regina Laudis in Bethlehem, Connecticut. Mother, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Well, thank you. I'm very touched and grateful that I have a chance to talk with you. This is not our usual Wednesday morning. Usually I'm doing some cleaning around the abbey or feeding the birds, but this is quite a privilege. And I thank you, and you mentioned to me earlier that we would be talking a bit about my earlier experiences with my family, which you mentioned were somewhat like many American families were divorced, and my family divorced when I was way early. I was a baby and about 3 years old. But actually, my mom and dad got together and divorced and together and divorced, about three times, and finally ended it. So they were a Romeo and Juliet couple. And I realized as I grew older that sometimes divorces tell you that people do want something, and if they had the right kind of help, they could have stayed together. And sometimes we don't have the right kind of help in our life. And those of us who make it should not judge our families. We should be grateful that we were given the gift of life.
What were what was the biggest thing that your mom taught you, and what was the biggest thing that your dad taught you, Mother?
Well, the biggest thing that my mom taught me was that she never talked to me about my dad. She never complained or said a thing to criticize him. Until I was way into my adulthood, did she ever speak to me about the reasons for their divorce. And I thought that was very courageous for a woman, because she had a lot to gripe about. And she didn't feel that was a thing to do for a young kid, to be given all the problems. And she kept those on her own shoulder. And I learned that a woman sometimes has to carry things and to hold them for a baby. And when she did tell me, it was a lot. And I think the biggest thing I learned from my dad, well, I think I'm going to have to have people hold on to their hats on this one, because he sent me a telegram when I entered the monastery. And the telegram said, in the evening of this life, you will be judged on love, St. John of the Cross. Well, St. John of the Cross never said that. St. John of the Cross said, in the evening of this life, you will be judged on love. Well, my dad said, in the evenings, you will be judged on love. Well, I understood what some of my mom's problems were.
So, how was it you became an actress?
Well, I became an actress because a very good friend of mine in school, when I was in college, I was given a scholarship to by playing the role of St. Joan. And when I went to college, a friend of mine sent my picture around to different people in the studios in Hollywood, because I was playing the role of St. Joan, and suggested that they come to see me in the play. I said, "Don, you're crazy. Nobody is going to come and see me in the play." Well, he was right. A talent scout from Paramount came, and they saw me in the play, and they invited me to come to do a screen test at Paramount. And it was on the basis of that screen test that I was then invited to come to do a film called Loving You. And to my great surprise, this film had a young actor named Elvis Presley in it. I didn't know who Elvis Presley was because I was in Marymount School at that time. And Marymount was, of course, not so far away that the rest of the girls knew who this fellow was. And in fact, when I went back after the test, they wanted to know if I had gotten a lock of his hair. I said, "Of course not." And I said, "I'm not sure who you mean." And they said, "Well, Elvis Presley, do you know who this fellow is?" And I said, "No." And they said, "Well, have you seen the Elvis, the Ed Sullivan show this week?" Well, I had no idea what a sensation he had created. And that was indeed going to be my great surprise when I was accepted to do the screen test and accepted to get in the part. And then my career began, because the film was a great success.
We're talking to Mother Dolores Hart, and that film, Loving You, was the first time that Elvis kissed anybody in front of a camera. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Mother Dolores Hart, who starred in numerous movies with Elvis, George Hamilton, Walter Matthau, Robert Wagner, Anthony Quinn, Hugh O'Brien, on and on and on. Mother, Elvis's career spiraled out of control because of drugs. And today in our culture, drugs are so prevalent. What's the answer?
Well, I tell you, I also lost someone else quite dear to me, and that was my uncle, who was Mario Lanza. My Aunt Betty was married to him, and I was only 21 when I had to go through the funeral of both my Aunt Betty and having had lost my uncle the year before. And they both succumbed to drugs. So I had it not only having seen it in the industry, I saw it very close in my family. And I don't understand why people do turn to it, except that I know that when persons, even though they seem to have absolutely everything, that when there is a sense of fear or a sense of of hurt or a sense of loss, that one drug can seem to be a momentary answer, and then the one drug can lead to two or more, or then all of a sudden there's a problem where you can't get off of it. And the only answer that I can think of is that you have to be very shrewd and never take the one. You never can start. And how can you tell somebody never to take the one thing when the one thing can be the only answer? I don't know. I think that you just have to begin by learning to pray from the very beginning of your life. You have to start praying or learning to pray even when you have nothing. That's when you have to start to pray. Because if you don't, you're going to get caught somewhere down the line.
Let's go back to 1963. You have it all. Award winner on Broadway, leading actress. You were often deemed to be tantamount to Grace Kelly. And you leave Hollywood, and you decide to sign a contract with God. You become a cloistered nun. Why, Mother, did you do that?
Well, I didn't decide. I think that was the hard part. I had made up my mind. I had been coming to Regina Laudis, which was the Benedictine Abbey, and I had come here for retreats from the time that I had been on Broadway, because this was a place that I could get away for a little rest. And I had asked the abbess, as early as 1959, I said to her one time, "Do you think that God might ever be calling me there?" And she said, to a very young girl at the time, "No, I think, forget that. You just go back to Hollywood and do what you need to do." Well, I was so relieved because I did not want any part of it. And I was so grateful. And then later, when this thing began to gnaw at me, "Do you think maybe this is what God is asking?" I was so upset because I did not want to have to think of it. But when I got engaged to Don Robinson, who was a very, very beloved person in my life, we were coming back from the engagement party, and Don said to me, "Dolores, you just were not present at the party tonight. Something is wrong." And I said, no, I'm fine, Don." He said, no, he said, "Something isn't, you weren't with it. I think you should go back to that abbey and work something out." And I thought, oh, no, not that. And I said, "Okay, Don, okay." And so I said, I'll just make a few days. And so I went back to Regina Laudis. And that was December 8th, 1963. And it was during that retreat that I really encountered the Spirit of God in a very true way. And I knew that this is what God wanted. And I just knew that I could not make my own will first, that I had done everything that I needed to do in Hollywood, that was what my witness had been. But I knew that now was the time for me to make another witness, and that this is what God was asking. And I had to make that choice. And it was terrible. I think if I ever had to make that decision over again, I would never have the courage to do it. I think it was one of the hardest things that ever came across my path. And I thank God that he gave me the strength at that time, because I was young enough to do it.
We're talking to a most extraordinary person, Mother Dolores Hart. Mother, you decided to become a cloistered nun as opposed to a quote-unquote regular nun. What is a cloistered nun?
Well, actually, we're not what you call cloistered. We are what you call enclosed, which is a Benedictine term, which is different from cloistered in that Benedictines are enclosed, meaning that our life is set apart. We have an enclosed life. We have a theater here. The theater is one that Pat Neal helped me to form here at the Abbey, and we put on plays at the theater. We don't do them. I'm not in them, but we create the theater so that young people can come and put on the plays. This last year, we did West Side Story, in fact, and we are here for the people of the area, and we are accessible. We are a community that has a great work for hospitality. We don't go out in that sense that we're not a community that is like, as you say, a community that is one that goes out into the world, but we are one that is enclosed in this particular island of enclosure here at Regina Laudis.
Mother Dolores Hart, do you ever miss the fame?
Oh, I doubt it very much because all of my friends come here.
When we come back, we'll talk to Mother about praying and how she does it and how we should do it. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
We're talking to Mother Dolores Hart, the movie actress who left Hollywood for a contract with God. Mother, how often do you talk to God a day, and what do you talk to Him about?
Well, I want to say that I learned to talk to God really about 10 years ago when I got peripheral neuropathy. This was a disease that I never expected to get in my life, and it hit me so hard that it knocked me right flat. I was in a wheelchair and could hardly move and walk. And I had to relearn how to get anywhere and how to live my life again. We in the monastery, we have the Divine Office that we live 2 a.m., 6 a.m., 8 a.m. at Mass, at 12 o'clock, the office, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and 5 o'clock Vespers, and again at 7:30 at Compline. All of those different offices where we would go to church to pray together. And when I was hit with this disease, I wasn't able to attend anything with the community because I was just flattened. And I asked myself, how can I pray if I can't be with my community, if I'm just completely alone and I can't be together with them to do what I was called here to do? And it was a great struggle until I found a doctor named Dr. Norman Latzoff, who was able to finally, with great effort and medical help, to get me back on my feet and through a whole long process get me going again. But through that process, I learned that prayer for anyone is learning really to talk to God in your heart and to say what you need to talk to God about, which is from your inner being, and to ask Him to help you in whatever you need to say to Him. And I learned then that whatever the community wanted to talk to Him about in prayer, very frequently they would come and say to me, "Mother, will you pray with us? Even when you're in the sick room, would you pray with us about this? Would you pray with us when we're at the communal prayer? Would you be with us in our prayer?" And I learned that prayer was really our own personal relationship with God. That was the first way that we pray with God. And when I finally could come back to being part of the communal prayer, then I knew that wherever you were, when you join your heart with God, that's the main reason you are praying.
Mother, if there's a listener tonight who says, that's fine for you, Mother, because you've got a God-centered life, but me, I'm so embarrassed for all the stuff I'm doing and not doing, God would never listen to me, and that's why I don't pray.
Oh, but listen, when you get sick and you feel you are worth nothing and you're just a vegetable laying in bed and everybody doesn't even know who you are, you don't feel you're God-centered anymore. You don't feel you're anything. You don't remember that you're anything. And you ask anybody who's sick for a long time, they don't think they're anything. They don't remember they're anything. They don't remember that they have a meaning. They don't think that their life is worthwhile. It doesn't matter what they were or who they were. It doesn't seem to have any value. And that you can ask anyone who's ever been there. You just have to call up from the depths again. Remember that there is a God somewhere, and you've got to try to put Him where He is not.
What do you say to somebody who says, "I pray, Mother, but He never answers any of my prayers"?
Well, then you've got to remember that maybe what you're praying for is being answered in some way that you might not realize. You can pray, but then you've got to let go of the fact that your prayer might be quite limited, because you can pray for this little thing to be happening, and your prayer might be being answered in a much bigger way than you can anticipate.
What do you say to a person, an older person, who says, "I'm just a burden, Mother. I bring no value to anybody anymore. I just want God to take me. But I keep waking up every morning.
Well,
why doesn't He take me?"
Then maybe you're not ready for Him to take you. Be really shrewd about that. Because when God is ready to take you, be really hopeful that you will be ready. And don't be so sure that you're ready.
You and I share Chicago as our roots.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I share a love for the Cubs.
Oh, yep.
For the last 100 years, for the last century, God has not seen that the Cubs win the World Series. Why not, Mother?
Well, who would be out there wishing for them if they won?
I think the worst thing that would happen is if we ever win it.
Right.
Because then we're like everybody else.
Then we're like everybody else, right. But let me say, when we win, then it's going to be all over.
It's unbelievable. How do I learn what my role in God's master plan is, Mother?
Well, if you ever looked at one of those wonderful films that looked at the world or looked at the incredible master plan of just what the making of the world is, just to see what it was that he made in making the world. Could you even come to an inch of drawing a quarter inch of it? Could you draw something like that? No. I mean, could you? I have got this wonderful little parrot over here in the cage. I couldn't even draw his picture. He is so intricate and so beautiful. You have to be so amazing in your capacity as an artist to make a master plan. When we come to the place where we can draw a master plan or create a master plan, we have to be so gifted. Let's be simple enough to know that when we are in our heavenly place, that we will have some capacity to understand it.
We're talking,
that will be our gift.
We're talking to Mother Dolores Hart, and on this coming Saturday, October 4th, she's going to be the keynote speaker at the Royal Park Hotel. And if you'd like to learn more, call 248-625-2461. 248-625-2461, or go to www.holytrinityapostolate.com. Mother Dolores Hart. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Mother Dolores Hart, the prioress of the Benedictine Abbey of Regina Laudis in Bethlehem, Connecticut. Mother, I quote, "If you're patient enough and allow your life to inform itself, you discover that God has a pattern not to destroy anything, but to continually build upon it." What do you mean by that, Mother?
Well, I think that if you are, well, it just as it says, if you're patient enough, if you don't mess things up too soon by your own quick impatience with things, with your desire to bring an absolute finality to something, to make an ending to a thing, you might find that the Lord has a way of allowing something to have a beauty in your life that you never anticipated. You might, well, in your own life, you know, in certain situations where you can say, oh, this really didn't work out so well, so I'm going to finish this off myself. And then you realize that there was something, you know, there was a surprise party there, so you didn't have to go and mess it up and say, I won't come, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
You really could have waited and found out that you were invited, and there really was something there for you.
One thing that all of us struggle with is this learning to surrender to God. Mother Hart, what advice, what insight could you give us on trying to get better at surrendering to God?
Well, I think God came to us in the form of Jesus. And usually surrendering to God means to surrender to a person in God's form. And we usually surrender to God through someone in his name. So surrendering to God is very rarely surrendering to God in the distant, in a distant embellishment of the high. It's usually in terms of a real life human being. And we have to really be very honest about when we say surrendering to God, who do we mean? Because it really means frequently a person who is the person of Jesus Christ.
Our world right now, our country, is in turmoil economically. The things that are happening have never happened before in many cases. And I think it's been because of greed from so many of us for so many years. Talk to us about greed and how we get through this.
Well, I would not want to bring a superficial light on what's happening because it's very complex. But I think one of the things that is at the bottom of it is that that people are not being allowed to spend as much money as they think they should be able to. And people are not able to have as much money as they think they have had. And things are going to shake down to being perhaps a very, well, our Father Saint Benedict had a saying for that maybe therefore we must establish a school of the Lord's service in founding which we hope to ordain nothing that is harsh or burdensome. And perhaps this is what is happening, that we are establishing a school of the Lord's service.
A week ago, I had Tom Trees on, a Vietnam vet. And 6 or 7 years ago, he and some other vets started going back to Vietnam, and they've now built over 40 schools. And he talked about that when he goes there, he sees that the Vietnamese have nothing. Comes back here, the Americans have everything, yet the Vietnamese, all in all, are happier than we are. Mother, why is that?
Well, I think that we sometimes we don't understand that things are not necessarily the medium for happiness. Again, in the prologue of our rule, we say, as we progress in our monastic life in faith, and our hearts will be enlarged, and we will run with unspeakable love in the way of God's commandments, that we will come to a point where we will understand that there is an unspeakable love in the way of his commandments, that all of the things that are important are not the things of this life, but the things that pertain to those of another life that are those which we experience through love and through the gifts of love, and not through the gifts that we necessarily exchange by money.
You've got a very close relationship with God. Mother, do you ever have any doubts?
Oh, I don't think that one can ever go away from having doubts. I think that your doubts come to you all the time. And you're never without doubts, but you have to constantly put your doubts behind you or dash them under your feet or put them into another place, because doubts are always going to be the whispering of another spirit. So they'll be there, but you can't give credence to them, and nor can you talk to yourself about them. Because if you do, they're not going to be a good friend.
We have 1 minute left. Would you leave us tonight with a prayer, please?
Well, I think the prayer that I can best lead you with is perhaps the best prayer that I can lead you with is one that is from our Father Saint Benedict, and he has a beautiful prayer. He says, "Hearken, my sons, to the precepts of the Master, and incline the ear of thy heart. Freely accept and faithfully fulfill the instructions of a loving Father, that by the labor of obedience you may return to him from whom you have strayed. Always place yourself into his loving heart."
Mother Dolores Hart, I believe when you meet God in heaven, he'll have an Oscar in his hand and he'll say, "Mother, welcome to eternity."
Well, that'll make it worth my going.
So, thanks for sharing and thanks for all you do.
Thank you. Bye now.
Goodbye. Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything truly is possible. Spohom.